Well, amen. What a blessing it has already been just being in the Lord's house tonight and being able to be blessed by the special music. I don't know it's ever been any better than what it was tonight, and possibly because of our mindset, hopefully focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's four main points that we need to be mindful of when it comes to our remembrance of the Savior Jesus Christ. And the first would have been his virgin-born birth some 2,000 years ago, and we celebrate that this coming Tuesday as a Christian nation. We have that on our Christian calendar. The second main event would have been his going to the cross of Calvary. The main purpose for his coming was that he would come to be the sacrificial lamb, that he would lay his life down and sacrifice in order to pay our sin debt, a debt that we owed and couldn't pay. The third would be his resurrection. As he had mentioned, that he had told the disciples that he would be crucified, he would die, but he would resurrect on the third day. And then the fourth is one that the church is looking forward to, and it could take place at any time, his return, his soon return for the rapture of the church. And just as certain as I am about his virgin birth, I am certain that he has a date in which he is going to return and call his church home. The rapture is imminent. There's no doubt about that. Between the time that he resurrected and ascended up to heaven and the time of the rapture is known as the church age. During the church age, that's when Jesus established his church, and it was the responsibility that Jesus gave to the church, the Great Commission. And that church age has been going on for some 2,000 years, and we are coming to that end, no doubt. All the signs that he had told us we could look for are coming together, and it's very evident, the signs of the days and everything else has taken place. But the one thing that he did, he established two ordinances for his church to continue to do until his return for the church, and one would have been baptism. And baptism requires somebody that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and then in his church, a church with his doctrine, to perform the ordinance of baptism. And in baptism, they are to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, which is a reminder of the Trinity of God. Every time we have a baptism, it's a reminder of the Trinity of God. So we are to continue to do that. And we are to continue to have communion, the second of the two ordinances. Communion was given by the Lord Jesus Christ, established while he was still here, as an ordinance for them to do for the entire New Testament period and until he would rapture the church home. And so this is something that we observe around the church here, somewhat on a quarterly basis, three or four times a year. And we find in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you'll turn there with me, we find the insight, the instructions that the Apostle Paul has given to the church in this first century. Now, Jesus established it back in Matthew chapter 26. We'll get back into that in just a little bit. And then by the time that Paul had been establishing the churches, reaching the Gentiles during this first century, the church had started getting away from the purpose of the Lord's Supper. And there was confusions there. And in chapter 11, Paul addresses some of these things up to verse 23. Some of the things that were messed up or were not doing them according to the way that Jesus established the communion to be in the church. And so there was some disorders in the Lord's table. And so Paul now is writing to the church at Corinth to make sure that they would understand exactly God's plan. Now, Paul was the apostle, and he wrote 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible, so it's Paul's writing, but it's actually the message of God. God was inspiring Paul to write exactly what he wrote, and then God preserved that which God inspired for his church throughout this entire church age. And so this is God's word, God's message to his church throughout this New Testament church age. And so it is instructions concerning the Lord's Supper. No doubt having the Lord's Supper is God's will. And tonight I want to just share with you some of the blessings and benefits to be gained in observing the Lord's Supper according to God's will. So if you'll stand with me tonight, we're going to be reading this, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. Paul addressing the church body at Corinth, and he says this, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye may come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for opportunity to be in church. Thank you, Lord God, that this is the Sunday before the day that we have set aside to acknowledge the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's also a time that we have set aside in this evening service to remember you as you have commanded us to do. And I pray tonight, God, that you would help each one of us just to draw closer to you tonight as we do remember you and observe the Lord's Supper. If there be anyone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they would not understand the Lord's Supper until, first of all, they would be saved. And I pray that might take place here tonight as well. Bless in the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, some of the benefits to be gained from having the Lord's Supper, basically, why did Jesus establish this for his church? The first is very definite and very clear in verse 24 and verse 25. He says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And so it is a memorial. It is a reminder for us, his church, to be able to look at the great sacrifice because of the great love that he had for us. He came, God himself so loved us, amen, that he sent his only begotten Son. God the Father sent God the Son, and God the Son came and placed himself in human flesh and lived a sinless life and then laid his life down. Why would he do that? Because of his great love for humanity. God loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice. I don't think that we will be able to comprehend the great sacrifice made in heaven for this to take place until we get to heaven. Until we have this glorified body and a glorified mind to where we can understand all things as God has understanding for them. We cannot fully understand just what kind of a sacrifice this was, but we know that it was a sacrifice that God made for us out of a great love he sacrificed. And so he said, we remember his body, and then this cup is the New Testament in my blood. It does not turn into the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, for he established it before he ever went to the cross, but it is symbolic of the body, and it's symbolic of the blood. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are to remember the body in that it was hung on the cross of Calvary, and the sacrifice and the pain and suffering that our Lord went through. And when we drink of that fruit of the vine, we are to remember the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. And this was not an ordinary blood. This was sinless blood from the sinless, sacrificial Lamb of God. And so this do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Such remembrance. When we actually, we take that bread in just a little bit and we remember the bodily sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What that would mean for an almighty, powerful God that created all things, had no limitations. He surrenders all of that to be placed in a limited human body, just like the one that you and I have. Our bodies, the Bible says, houses our spirit. And so this is the house that I'll live in throughout this physical life. And it's got weaknesses. And as it gets older, it continues to develop more and more weaknesses. But it's my body. And it houses my spirit. This body is temporal. My spirit is eternal. Jesus came and he put that his presence in a physical body. Again, this is another one of those things that kind of just blow the mind. We fully cannot understand that. We know that it was out of love and it would be a sacrifice, but he did that so that he could identify with us. And so when we take of that bread and we remember the sacrifice and the reason he did it, the reason he made the sacrifice to come to this physical body and then to be abused by mankind, to be hung on a cross. The very Creator was now being crucified by that which he created. And the only explanation why is because he first loved us. And because of Adam's sin, and that sin has passed upon all mankind, and the wages God already declared, if you sin, you shall surely die. Separation from God eternally. And the only way that we could be redeemed and reconciled to an almighty God is for Jesus to step in and to be a substitutionary sacrifice. He died so that we might live. And so when we take of that bread and we drink of that cup concerning the blood that was shed, the pure, sinless blood that was shed for us, and we understand the purpose and the reason he did it was basically out of love. He first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. And so when we think about his love for us, it ought to spark something inside of us to have an even deeper appreciation and have a deeper love for what he did for us. We should never forget that. Having communion ought to do something. If you truly understand what it was designed to do, it'll increase our love for him. It will remind us his sacrifice, a memorial. We love him because he first loved us. So one of the benefits to the communion is to stir our love and devotion for him. I trust it'll do that tonight for us. The second thing is it will bring unity to his church if we allow it to. One of the problems that they had before Paul instructs the church here, if you look back to chapter 11 in 1 Corinthians and verse 17 and 18, one of the disorders is they were divided. The body of Christ is to be united. It is not to be divided. That's why we look at this as given to the local independent church, the local body of Christ, to keep that body strong and together and united. as we as the Lighthouse Baptist Church will partake of this communion tonight, it is designed to draw us closer to God. And as we draw closer to God, we would have to draw closer to each other. When we remember the love that he had for us, and we love him because of that, how could we not love one another because we are of the same body? And so we find here the division that they had, and Paul reminds them of this in chapter 11, verse 17. He says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse." You're coming together in divisions, and that's not what it's about. "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there is be divisions among you. And I partly believe it, because he's writing to them and he's saying to them, this is what I'm hearing about you, and that is the opposite of what the Lord's table is to do. Having communion gets us to remember his love for us. It encourages us to love him, and as we love him, we will love one another. How do you know that, preacher? Because I know that's what the Bible teaches. 1 John, look over there with me. In 1 John chapter 2, this is what the Bible says. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9, "He that saith he is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." How can we love, say that we love God, and yet hate our brother? Then go together. That's darkness. And darkness cannot come into the presence of God. You say you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, you lie and do not the truth. So it will bring unity to the church if we allow it to, as we remember why he has given to us communion. First of all, it ought to spark us and remind us to love him. And if we love him, it ought to help us to love one another. He says in 1 John chapter 2, "Little children, is the last time that I said and heard the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." The Antichrist do everything anti-Christ. They will try to get you to do everything anti what Christ would have you to do it, to think it would be acceptable to have a hatred or a division in his church. That is not the will of God. The will of God is for the church family to, first of all, love God, and then be able, through your love for God, to love one another. As you remember his love for you, how could we not love someone else as he has loved us? The Bible says there in back in our text here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26 and verse 27. Chapter 11, verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Unworthily, we'll get into that a little bit here in just a minute, a little bit deeper, but it would be unworthy to partake of the communion and have a hatred in our hearts for your brother. It would not be something that God would be pleased with. And so as we come together in communion and we remember his love for us, and then we have a greater love for him than we ought to, and it ought to unify the church in that if there is any divisions, if there is any aughts, if there is any hatred in God's body in the church, that we would be able to turn that over to him and love those, even the unlovable, through the love of Christ, and forgive those, even those that are unforgivable, we're able to forgive through the love of Christ as he has. So it ought to bring the church together in unity as we remember the love of Christ and his desire for the unity of his church. The third thing that it does for us and the benefits that we can have from it, it will get us to examine ourselves. You know, too often we can blind ourselves to certain sins. But when you study communion, and you understand what the Bible says about to partaking of this unworthily. And then when we read in verse 28, and it says, but let a man examine himself, and then so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So self-examination. No one knows you like you know you, except for God. Can I tell you that God knows the very thoughts in our minds? He knows the very intents of the heart, the Bible says. When he established communion, one of the things that he did, because Judas was still there, Judas, the one that tried to hide his sin in betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. He had already betrayed him at this night. And Jesus said, Matthew chapter 26, let me just read this to you in verse 17. Now the first day of the feast at the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready for the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Now Judas would he would present himself and he would ask it was him, and Jesus would say it was, and Judas would leave before they would have the communion. But the idea there is at communion we examine ourselves and we have to ask God, Lord, is there any sin in my heart? Is there any unconfessed sin in my life? Is there something inside of me that would hinder me from truly drawing closer to you and remembering you as you would have me to remember you? Is there anything in me that would make it unworthily, to make myself unworthy to participate in communion? The only way that you are to do that is to examine yourself. I am not going to, nor anyone else in this church, going to come over you and say, no, you can't partake of it. It's every individual. And, of course, in the church, every church member has to ask themselves, Lord, is it I? Self-examination. And then lastly, it is to serve as a reminder that he's going to return. And I love that. Because as we partake of the Lord's Supper in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30, after they partook of this, he said chapter 26 and verse 29, he said, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. See, we partake of the Lord's Supper until he comes again. He would say in verse 26 of chapter 11, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So tonight we'll be partaking of the Lord's Supper, and this might be the last one. You never know. It could be your last one on earth, as it would be the last opportunity you individually would have. Or it could be the last one for his church, for the Lighthouse Baptist Church, because the rapture will take place before we have a chance to do it, have another Lord's Supper. Either way, we leave the church with an anticipation of expectation of his coming. And if we live our lives with an anticipation of an expectation of his soon return, it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference in how we live. So communion, the Lord's Supper, one of two ordinances, the benefits that can be gained. And I trust we will all benefit from the Lord's Supper tonight. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. The deacons are going to come up front and get themselves positioned to be ready to pass out communion. And we'll be passing out the communion. But before we do, we need to have an invitation. If you ask God, is it I? Is there something in my life that would be a hindrance for me to partake in communion? And as you examine yourself, even right now, if you have need to come to this altar, we invite you to come. As you examine yourself, first of all, you need to make sure that you're saved. You need to make sure that you have been scripturally baptized, that you have surrendered to God's will to be a part of a local New Testament body of Christ, his church. As far as you know, there's no unconfessed sin in your life. I believe that's what we look for. If you partake of communion knowing that you have checked all those boxes, I believe it can be a tremendous encouragement and have tremendous benefits to you personally and to the Lighthouse Baptist Church as a whole. Father, we bow before you now. We do love you. Thank you for the truth of your word concerning the Lord's Supper. Before we pass this out for all to remember you and the body and the blood, I pray during this invitation, God, if there's those that need to make decisions in preparation for the Lord's Supper, I pray that they would make those decisions right now. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray.